Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church at Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real and can and does change our lives.
Good morning, Las Vegas. This is John Racine with the Church at Las Vegas. We're so glad that you've tuned in to listen today. And before we begin our broadcast, I just want to encourage you that if all you're doing is staying at home and listening and not coming and meeting together with God's people in a specific place, then, you know, you're doing yourself a disfavor and you're actually doing the rest of the church a favor. There are things that you can get out of listening. I like to listen to other preachers on the radio or on the internet or whatever, but it's not the same as coming together and being with the saints. It's one of the reasons that in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24, Paul, as he writes to the Hebrews, says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." You see, when God's people come together, there's an encouragement. There's an encouragement in worshiping God together, singing to God together, coming to give and to share of our time and of our resources and everything else. And so Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12 says, "See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end." And so it's not just about a one-time decision or listening every once in a while. It's about getting plugged in to a congregation of God's people and being there to worship and being part of that. I think there's a lot of people that go through a lot of different struggles in their life. And I was just talking with a friend about this the other day, and we said that, you know, how sad it is, especially people that claim to know Christ and that follow Christ and that claim they have the love of God in their hearts, that when things go difficult or things go bad even, that they quit coming together with God's people. They quit coming to worship. And I would imagine they probably quit reading their Bible and they quit praying and they quit doing a lot of spiritual things. They're all tied together. And so we don't want to be one-dimensional Christians. We want to do the whole will of God in our lives. And so if you've just been listening, I know there's been many of you over the years that have listened to this broadcast that you've come. Some of you have only come one time. And you know what? I wish you'd come back. I wish it would be something that we could get to know each other better and that we'd have time to sit down face to face and study the Word of God and answer whatever questions you might have. I love to do that and share the Word of God in that way. All right, I would like you to listen this morning as I read through the letter to the Thessalonians. And it's very interesting because Paul wrote at the end of this letter to the Thessalonians in chapter 5 and verse 27, he says, "I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers and sisters." And so this is what I would like to do this morning. It's not going to take too long, but I'd like you to just listen as I read the letter to the Thessalonians, the first letter to the Thessalonians, by the Apostle Paul. And we'll probably stop somewhere in between to listen to a song that I think really goes along with this. So here we go. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. Chapter 2. You know, brothers and sisters, that our visit to you was not without results. We had previously suffered and been treated outrageously in Philippi, as you know, but with the help of our God, we dared to tell you his gospel in the face of strong opposition. For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as those approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please people, but God who tests our hearts. You know we never used flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. We were not looking for praise from people, not from you or anyone else, even though as apostles of Christ, we could have asserted our authority. Instead, we were like young children among you. Just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you. Because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Surely you remember, brothers and sisters, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. And we also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. For you, brothers and sisters, became imitators of God's churches in Judea, which are in Christ Jesus. You suffered from your own people the same things those churches suffered from the Jews who killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets and also drove us out. They displease God and are hostile to everyone in their effort to keep us from speaking to the Gentiles so that they may be saved. In this way, they always heap up their sins to the limit. The wrath of God has come upon them fully. But brothers and sisters, when we were orphaned by being separated from you for a short time in person, not in thought, out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you, for we wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did again and again, but Satan blocked our way. For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy. Chapter 3. So when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and co-worker in God's service in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. For you know quite well that we are destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted. And it turned out that way, as you well know. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter had tempted you, and that our labors might have been in vain. But Timothy has just now come to us from you, and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us, and that you long to see us, just as we also long to see you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have had in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all of his holy ones. All right, we're going to stop there for just a minute and listen to a song by Hillsong called Who You Say I Am. And friends, one of the things that we need to remember, that no matter what the world thinks about Christians, no matter what sometimes we think of ourselves and how we sometimes get so down on ourselves, we need to remember that God loves us and that God called us out of the world with the gospel, and that God wants us to be successful in this life, not in terms of money or power or prestige or the things that the world thinks are important, but that we'd be true, that we'd be faithful, that we would be blameless and holy, that our love would increase and overflow for each other, and that we would be imitators of God, and that we would live lives worthy of the God who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. Friends, the Bible is so full of hope and joy and encouragement, and we need to share that with each other personally, not just in text, not just over the phone, but in person as we worship God together. So think about these first three chapters and what we've just talked about as we listen to Hillsong sing Who You Say I Am.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the sun sets free, who is free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes I am. Free at last, he has ransomed me, his grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. Who the sun sets free, who is free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes I am.
All right, we're back this morning, and we are reading through the letter of 1 Thessalonians. If you missed the first part of the show, we've read through the first three chapters, and we're getting ready to start the fourth chapter. And the reason we're doing this is because Paul exhorted the Thessalonians that this letter be read to all of the brothers and sisters. And so as the letter was read back then to the church of the Thessalonians, so too even today, it's good for us to just read the scripture and listen to it at times. And so I want to go ahead and finish that now, starting in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. He says, "As for other matters, brothers and sisters, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable and not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God, and that in this matter no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister. The Lord will punish all those who commit such sins, as we told you and warned you before. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, anyone who rejects this instruction does not reject a human being, but God, the very God who gives you his Holy Spirit. Now about your love for one another, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all of God's family throughout Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do so more and more, and to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. You should mind your own business and work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so that you will not be dependent upon anybody. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come upon them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. Brothers and sisters, pray for us. Greet all God's people with a holy kiss. I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers and sisters. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. All right, that's the letter of Paul the Apostle to the Thessalonians, the first letter. And I hope you recognized as we read through there how many times that he encouraged the Christians there in Thessalonica to encourage each other, to encourage each other, to encourage each other, to keep encouraging each other, and to stand firm in the Lord, and to make sure that we keep encouraging each other to stand in the light and not go along with the darkness and those who live in it. We need to be people that urge each other to live a life worthy of the calling that we've received. Because God didn't save us so that we could just continue on in our sin. He saved us so that we could walk in the light, so that we could be children of light, so that we could be who He says we are. And if you're out there this morning just claiming the name of Christ, if you're just saying, well, I'm a Christian, but you're living in the darkness, then you know what? There's not a lot of confidence or hope that you have. You're probably afraid of Judgment Day. You're probably afraid of standing before God because you're not sure that He's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. And this is why we need to rejoice always. This is why we need to pray continually. This is why we need to give thanks in all circumstances, for it's God's will for us in Christ Jesus. It's why back in chapter 4 that he encourages them that it's God's will that they should be sanctified, that they should avoid sexual immorality. We live in a society that's full of that. We live in a city that's full of it. And we need to make up our minds and be committed that we are going to be pure children of light, pure and holy, that our work is produced by our faith, that our labor is prompted by our love for Christ, and our endurance is inspired by our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, you know, I don't know where you're at this morning, but God does, and you do. And if you're struggling with life, if you're struggling with addictions, if you're struggling with relationships, if you're discouraged and despairing of life, and if you're just fed up with yourself even, well, maybe it's time that you turn to God. And maybe you have in the past and you turned away from Him. Maybe it's time you quit blaming Him. Maybe it's time that you repented of your lack of love and care for God, who works all things out for the good of those who love Him. Maybe it was you who quit loving Him instead of thinking that He quit loving you. I just want to encourage you to do the right thing. And don't just do it at home. Like I said at the beginning of the broadcast, come and visit. Come and worship. Come and meet with the church at Las Vegas so that we can encourage you and that you can encourage us as well. Again, we're the Church at Las Vegas, and we meet at 3388 South Decatur Boulevard. That's right in between Spring Mountain and Desert Inn. And we would love, again, to have you come in person. We'd like to meet you in person. We'd like to see you worship God in person. And so, again, Sunday morning, we meet at 10:30. Sunday evening, we meet at 6 o'clock. And Wednesday evening, we meet at 7 o'clock. We're currently going through a study in the letter that Paul wrote to the Philippian church. And so come on out for that as well. But again, whatever you do, wherever you're at this morning, I hope you know that God has given you a firm foundation to build on. There's only one true foundation of life that someone can really build on, hopefully, and that's the foundation which has already been laid, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And friends, as we build on that foundation, as we live our life trying to be pleasing to God and living it for His glory and honor and making sure that we stay true and faithful to the one who died on the cross for us, that's where there's hope and peace and joy. So friends, until next week, keep standing on the solid rock, the rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God.